that time to talk about what is hot and happening in the community and communities everywhere, because as we know, last week, President Donald Trump signed an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education. However, he does need Congress to agree, and that would take, if all Republicans agree, that would take 7 Democrats to hop on board. Don't necessarily see that happening as it failed before, but on the line, I had to get somebody who was really into this. My good buddy, Dr. Tina Ellsworth, Northwest Missouri State University, definitely has been an ally when it comes to issues of DEI studies. You have studied race, and what all have you studied, Tina? Because you know your stuff.
Well, I do try to do a lot of work in racialized pedagogical content knowledge, so just helping build teachers' capacity for acknowledging the role that race plays when we teach history and when we teach social studies, and also just looking at how to make our schools more inclusive and so that every single kid can have equal chances of being successful.
Mm-hmm. So that's my question. So just suppose this happens. I'm really not seeing it happening, but it could, because this administration is, you know, doing some things, and it's hundreds of days.
Things.
Yeah. Okay. So for the average person who doesn't understand what the Department of Education does, particularly for special needs students and poor communities, how important is it to have the Department of Education versus tossing it back to the states, especially in a particular state, like how would it affect Missouri?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things here is that we have to dispel the myth that education is actually centralized in Washington, D.C. in the first place, because it's always been in the hands of the states and the local school districts. And elected people from our communities are actually who's driving the direction of education in our schools. And even on the Department of Education's website, it still says, here's the things that the Department of Ed does not do. It does not establish schools or colleges. It does not develop curricula. It doesn't set requirements for graduation and enrollment. It doesn't set your state standards, tell your states what you have to do. And it doesn't develop or implement any kind of testing or measures about whether or not you're meeting your own state standards. And people may have heard before this idea of the national standards exist, but really it's a misleading nomenclature, because the standards being referenced are typically ones that are not from the national government, because they don't do that, but more of these national organizations like the National Council for the Social Studies will have standards that they want to create to help guide social studies education across the country, but it is not required that any state or any local school district follows it. Okay. So I think the most important thing that we need to clear up is that. So when you hear conversation about we're returning education back to the states, it never left the states. That was not the role of the Department of Ed. But what the Department of Ed had realized, or what the Congress at least in the 1970s had realized, is that states weren't doing the best that they could do to make sure that there was equitable education for every kid from different racial backgrounds to different socioeconomic backgrounds, and if they had disabilities. And so what the government really set this up to do was to address those needs, to improve educational programming for the typically underserved. And so when we have money that's allocated to the Department of Ed that has been dispersed to the states, it's earmarked to go to certain places for a certain reason. So I think one of the biggest concerns right now is what happens if the Department of Ed is no longer, then where does that money go? And right now everybody's guessing. And I think that's what's causing the unrest a bit, is if it becomes just a part of general revenue for a state and the state can then decide where that money goes, if that money doesn't go to the schools, the federal mandates are still there. So how are they going to fulfill those mandates without that funding? What could that mean for not being able to serve students with special needs? What could that mean for not serving students very well who are from low-income homes?
Yeah.
And that's the biggest question right now, I think, that's facing us.
Okay, so, and really, you're not getting any clarity. Obviously, Linda McMahon, the wrestling lady, I mean, she doesn't come from a background of education, so I wasn't expecting her to be able to answer. I mean, like, really, Dr. Tina, like, having her do an interview, I watched it, and I don't even, I was just like, what are you saying? So.
So were we.
Yeah, because you're in education. So as of right now, I guess this is just kind of a wait and see game. And for parents who are concerned, what would you say to them?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think that with, if they get rid of one of my biggest concerns about getting rid of the Department of Ed is the allocation of funding. Where's that funding going to go? Who's going to be in charge of it? So I think that contacting Congress, so your House of Representatives, and just say, hey, and you can go to house.gov and type in your address and find out who yours is if you don't know who that is. And reaching out to them and talking to them about how important it is to you that the department stay in place, because maybe you benefit from civil rights legislation. And if we already know that the Office of Civil Rights has been slashed quite a bit, but there is also a part of the Department of Ed that deals with civil rights issues as well. And so if that gets cut anymore as well, then you're going to have families who are now going to have to be able to have the money to be able to litigate these issues instead of having somebody who can intervene on their behalf. And so really stressing the importance of protecting the funding for all students to make sure they all receive equitable funding. I mean, I think part of the reason why the department was created in the first place is because that inequalities existed in schools. And I'm not suggesting that they're all fixed now,
right,
but I think it certainly provides a greater degree of oversight and greater accountability that helps parents be able to have some greater recourse, whereas without the department, they wouldn't have it. So I think don't give up. There's a lot of groups out there right now that are maybe creating some kind of email that is pretty generalized language that you can copy and paste and send. I would say send more than once, send often, and call your friends to send often. And you can never send it too many times. And I think also the same is true for phone calls. Send phone calls to the field offices. They don't necessarily have to be the folks. It is the folks in Washington, D.C., but they have field offices here in our states. And so reaching out to them locally and showing up to town halls and expressing concern. But if we just sit back and let them do it, they're going to think that nobody cares.
Yes.
Because Trump's kind of put this messaging out there. And so we're kind of seeing how it falls. And what they're measuring is public outcry. And so if we don't outcry, then they think that the public is okay with it, even when it's not. So we have to, you know, as Ben Franklin said, we have a republic, but only if we can keep it.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's we, the people. So we have to keep it. And these are not people that are our bosses. We are theirs. And we need to remember that positionality and that power belongs in the hands of the folks.
Yes. So, hey, we are having a call to action. When there is legislation or attempted legislation, executive orders, push back. Because pushback 100%. Can definitely, we've seen a few little things adjusted, Tina, with the pushback.
It has.
So we have to continue to do so. I thank you, Tina. I'll probably reach out again. We'll see the outcome of this. But thank you for what you do in our community, for your students, and being a close ally that I personally love and adore. And you are it, sis. We appreciate you.
Thanks, friend. Love you.
Love you, too. Thanks, girl.